Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, August 13th, 2026. We'll start with a story titled Upgrade or Build New as County Seeks Input from Feasibility Study on Animal Shelter. And there's a picture of the view of the Vermilion County Animal Shelter. This is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. The Vermilion County Animal Shelter and Control Facility has options after receiving a $2.5 million grant in April. We've just about exhausted the current facility, and I think all of us recognize that needs to be put in the rearview mirror, County Board Chairman Steve Miller said during Tuesday's meeting. In a perfect world, we would build a brand new facility. Miller said they are looking into all options with the feasibility plan. This is the beginning of getting some professional assistance in that effort, Miller added. Brian Goodner, director of Vermilion County Animal Shelter, says they are looking into all the possible options, whether it be a brand new facility or renovations and upgrades to the current facility. This point now that we're at, this is basically a feasibility study to look into what potentially could be done with that, whether it be a new facility, what that would cost, and then also what it would cost to renovate our existing facility, Goodner said. If they renovated the existing building, there would be numerous upgrades, especially to the HVAC system and kennels. We're basically just looking at all options and then laying those plans on the table to take those on the county board and let them have a little bit more information on what $2.5 million or what potentially a new facility would cost. Goodner added, if the shelter does build a new facility, the current one would likely become a parking lot after finding the shelter owned additional nearby land to the current facility. One of the things that I came across several months ago was some of the property around us we thought was already in our control and that we owned it, Goodner said. There was some discrepancies in title work and some deed work that was all corrected. And with that process, it secured the land around us to make it a possible option to be built behind our facility. The grant was announced in April from the Julius Hegler II Foundation. At that time, board member Jerry Hawker talked about the changes the shelter has gone through since the 80s. About 1984, we had our first addition built out where the shelter is, and in the early 2000s, we had the second addition, Hawker said. And it's time for another, but I can't say how proud I am of the staff, the animal regulation, and how much improvement in the last 18 months that has happened there. Goodner added, there is one major needed to modernize the facility. We'd basically be trying to stay about the same number of kennels and cat spaces, Goodner said about discussed plans. Kennels for dogs would stay the same and cat spaces would stay the same. Everything would be more modernized, newer equipment. All the dog areas would be cleaned faster and easier with the new materials, like things like that. Just this year, Goodner took over the director of the shelter. Goodner was a deputy with the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department for 21 years, retiring in 2025. He also served on the Vermilion County Board, representing District 1. As far as the future plans, whether it be for renovation or a new build, Goodner says the staff is looking forward to the changes. We're excited about it and excited to take this next step, Goodner said. All the staff, everyone is excited about it. For more information about the shelter, to request checks on animals' welfare, or to make donations, go to the website of www.vercounty.org/animal-shelter or call 217-431-2660. Goodner said there will be more discussion later this fall after the feasibility study is completed and the shelter and board members have an idea of the cost associated with either a renovation to the facility or a brand new facility. Next story is titled Millions in Infrastructure Upgrades Discussed, again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. The city of Danville is potentially looking at millions of dollars worth of upgrades to its sewer system and more from grants. David Rue, Public Works Director, said the city is applying for a $25 million loan through the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, known as the IEPA, loan program to complete the sewer work. This is through the IEPA loan program, and the reason we're going after this funding is that we're likely to receive 30% principal forgiveness, Rue said. After the course of the next 5 years, we intend to do all five phases of this, and it's estimated that that this will be around $25 million worth of sanitary sewer repairs. With the 30% forgiveness, Rue says they can do more work for less money. If we were to do up to $25 million worth of work over the next 5 years, we would only pay $17.5 million for the $25 million worth of work, Rue added. Recently, the NAACP held a floodplain workshop discussing some of those concerns. Rue said that sometimes the sewers get overwhelmed during the intense rainfall and occasionally back up into people's homes, churches, and other areas. Back in the day, they allowed a lot of roof drains and things to be tied into our sanitary sewers, Rue explained. When we have heavy rain events, those pipes can get very well overwhelmed and sometimes can even back up into people's homes and basements. Another grant that the DCEO Site Readiness Grant, Rue says, will provide the city with $1.371 million, and it's only a 20% match, so roughly $275,000 to get a $1.6 million sewer line extension for this project. The project will take place near Newell and Bowman Streets. It would terminate a 50-acre parcel on the northwest side of Newell and Bowman, Rue said. The DCEO Site Readiness Program, he says, will give the city a sanitary sewer extension down Bowman with the intent to make several large-scale sites developable, which we have a shortage of in the city of Danville. Rue said the repairs would fix flow issues that we have in the city. You can find a map of the proposed plans and phases on the city's website in the agenda packet for the public works dated August 12th. We'll expect the grant agreement here in a couple of months and get a designed and constructed here in the next couple of years, Rue said. Ryan Skoll also voiced his concerns about the retaining wall near his property on North Vermilion Street. I've taken 2 to 3 5-gallon buckets of concrete from that retaining wall and got rid of them, he said. Most recently, there's probably about another 2 5-gallon buckets lying on the sidewalk. I've hit my house multiple times with concrete chunks. Luckily, nothing's broke my window yet. Skulls added that the area is dangerous, and Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. agreed. Skulls said there was a group of around 20 bicyclists in the area, and one of the riders flipped over. Skulls said the rider told him, "My bike hit the chunk of concrete that came from my retaining wall." However, Williams says the project is costly. He said the city is trying to get IDOT to cover the costs. Just for his yard alone, almost $80,000, Williams said. So multiply that times 13 to 15 properties. So the project is going to be well over $1 million. In the state will pay that instead of us. We could use our $1 million on some other things instead. Next story again, D118 seeks TIF district agreement, again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. The TIF districts bring funds into the city, and Danville District 118 School Board wants to get some of those funds in for the schools. The public needs to see the implications of what the TIF district does to the other taxing bodies, said Todd Pence, interim business director for District 118. We're all part of the community. It is what it comes down to, and let's just get into it, make it bigger. Pence talked about how a TIF district works and how it could benefit Danville schools. He suggested during the board meeting that the school board president Darlene Holleran and superintendent John Hart attend a village or city council meeting to get the district connected and involved. Vermilion County First reported that Holleran, Hart, and board member Christopher Easton attended the Tilton Village meeting. For the district to have an intergovernmental agreement, all government entities would have to approve the agreement. Tilton is included in the proposed agreement. Explain it to the council's members so they see the impact that it's having, Pence said. I don't think it's out of the line to ask for a commitment moving forward because, again, they're just going to keep extending these. They're going to add more, but we need to do something to help address our needs down the road too. Hart asked Pence what the district can do if they cannot get an intergovernmental agreement, and Pence said raise taxes. Easton asked why would they maybe not want to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with us. Holland said, well, we don't know. We have never asked. Pence said the only reason he could see they wouldn't include the district would be because the city needs those funds for their projects. However, Pence seemed to allude to the city of Danville and the village of Tilton will likely support the endeavor. The city doesn't want to hurt the school. The village of Tilton doesn't want to hurt the school, he said. I think they need to see, okay, well, now that this thing's working, how much is it generating? What's the impact of it's having on us? Again, there's enough money, if you look at it, that over the 10 years, I mean, they're still going to get millions, even if they gave us 25% back on what we generate. We're still offering to give them 75% of what we're doing, our part to help the community. Hart asked, how can we legally put a stop to this? Pence said they can't. It's legal. We can bark up a tree. We can fill the council meetings. And that's really the only thing we've got, except to ask and try to educate, and hopefully they're willing to work with us. We're willing to work with them. Pence added the district needs to make a decision fast to lock in the revenue. The bottom line is we're not against the growth at all that, but we've got to also have our own needs, and locking these revenues up, Pence said. Pence said they're only going to be 23 years, and I guarantee you're going to extend them or change them and start another 23. It's a big deal now, but 10 years, it could be even bigger. If we don't try to get something now, put in place now. Okay, there's just a couple of obituaries. Ruth H. Roderick, 89, of St. Joe, Illinois, passed away at Call Home in Davenport, Iowa, on August 8th. She was born in Altamont, Illinois. A celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, August 15th, at Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 1930 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Reverend James Yonkers will officiate. Burial will be in Walnut Corner Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturday at the church in Danville. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made in Ruth's memory to the Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 1930 North Bowman Avenue, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Please note, Vacation Bible School Study, Sunday School. And John Charles Wonderland, 84, of Danville, passed away at his home with his family by his side on August 9th at 9:54 p.m. A celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. on Monday, August 17th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Father John Sear will officiate. Burial will be in Resurrection Cemetery in Danville. Visitation will be held from 9 to 11 a.m. on Monday at the funeral home in Danville. Memorials may be made in John's memory to St. Paul's Catholic Church or Kickapoo State Park. Next story is titled Law Enforcement Agencies Focus on Dangerous Drivers, and this is written by a staff reporter in Danville. Law enforcement agencies across the state are focusing on impaired, distracted, and unsafe driving. The Danville Police Department is one of more than 200 agencies taking part in the statewide Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over Drive High. Drive High, Get a DUI, and Click It or Ticket campaigns going through Labor Day. According to a release from the Danville Police Department beginning on Friday, August 14th through the morning on Tuesday, September 8th, officers will be out in force focused on stopping impaired drivers, enforcing seatbelt laws, and in reducing other dangerous driving behaviors. Driving under the influence, whether it's alcohol, cannabis, or any other impairing drug, is not just risky, but it's illegal, said Danville Detective Zane Raining. We'll be patrolling with zero tolerance for impaired driving because our goal is to protect the people of Danville. Officers will be enforcing seatbelt laws as part of the Click It or Ticket initiative. Buckling up is the most effective way to prevent serious injury or death in a crash. Everyone in the vehicle, front seat or back, should be properly buckled every trip. In addition to alcohol, officers will be on the lookout for drivers impaired by cannabis and other drugs. Messages like Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over and Drive High, Get a DUI are part of the statewide education and enforcement effort aimed at saving lives. We want our community to enjoy the holiday weekend safely and responsibly, Raining said. Plan ahead, use a designated driver, and never get behind the wheel impaired. These decisions save lives. This local effort is part of a larger statewide campaign supported by the Illinois Department of Transportation, which administers the Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over and Click It or Ticket campaigns with federal highway safety funds. The initiative is reinforced by IDOTS. It's not a game media campaign running across radio, TV, and digital platforms to highlight the deadly consequences of impaired driving. Next story is titled Bailey Pritzker Campaign About Illinois Agriculture, and this is written by Ben Slazinski at Capital News in Shirley. Illinois farmers heard pitches from incumbent Governor J.B. Pritzker and downstate Republican farmer Darren Bailey on Monday as each argued their best positioned to address agricultural issues. Bailey, a former state lawmaker who was also his party's nominee for governor in 2022, told the crowd at the candidate forum hosted by the Illinois Agricultural Legislative Roundtable on a farm south of Bloomington that he speaks their language and best understands the challenges they face. Pritzker, the two-term Democratic governor with a business background who owns horse farms in Wisconsin and Florida, argued his governing record shows he's been a better friend to farmers than Bailey's party, which must answer for price hikes caused by President Donald Trump's policies. We have everything that we need. We are just lacking leadership, Bailey said, pledging to be a spokesman for farmers as governor. But Bailey's record doesn't show he can deliver results for farmers, Pritzker argued to reporters following the forum. Darren Bailey hasn't done anything for farms, Pritzker said. He passed two bills when he was in the state legislature, and they had nothing to do with farms, and he doesn't have a proposal for anybody that makes sense. Both candidates spoke to farmers each for nearly an hour and did not cross paths in a nearly 20-minute stump speech before taking moderated questions. Pritzker leaned heavily on his overall governing record, citing broad economic development achievements as evidence he is a good governor for farmers. He also tried to level with the audience about his agricultural knowledge. Know what you don't know and be willing to ask for help from people who are smarter than you are, Pritzker said, told the crowd. And that's why, about 6 years ago, I hired Jerry Costello as the director of the Department of Agriculture. Next story is titled Boiling Springs Closes for Box Culvert Extension, and this is written by a staff reporter in Danville. The city of Danville started work on Box Culvert Extension Project on Boiling Springs Road on Tuesday. According to a release from Tara Barrett of the Public Works Department to safely complete the construction. Boiling Springs Road will be closed to all traffic between 210 Bowling Springs Road and 214 Bowling Springs Road beginning Tuesday, August 11th. The closure is expected to remain in place through Friday, August 28th, weather permitting. During construction, motorists are encouraged to use alternate routes and avoid the area whenever possible. Access to the work zone will be restricted to ensure the public of the safety of the public and construction crews. For questions or additional information, please contact the City of Danville Public Works Department at 217-431-2288. Slow news day, so we'll read something from Lavina's Ami's Kitchen, a syndicated column. Preparations are in full swing for Benjamin and Joanne's wedding. This past week has kept us busy canning tomatoes and pickles. We have 4+ bushels of tomatoes here that need to be canned. The days go by so fast, and pretty soon another week is gone. The wedding keeps getting closer and closer. Son Benjamin and Joanna are heading out to Ohio tomorrow afternoon with the Greyhound bus. Her cousin is getting married on Thursday, and she is table waiter at the wedding. In our community, they have a boy or girl table waiter to serve guests. In that community, they only have girls. From one community to the next, it's different. In some, they take only the girls' aunts for cooks. In our area, they take all the aunts of both the bride and the groom. I like it like that because it includes everyone the same. Sometimes it's just a tradition that keeps up year after year, and everyone just does it because it's always was like that. I think having the groom's aunts included in is a great way to meet your future son-in-law's relatives, especially if they aren't from the same community. Of course, this is just my opinion, and it's totally up to the couple what they do. Either way works, and the most important part is that they have a memorable wedding with God as their guide. Last Wednesday, 5 of our children and all 16 grandchildren came here for the day. I made a breakfast casserole so that breakfast was ready when they arrived. This was the first time for some time of them to meet little Jaden. He was passed around and adored by all. Such a sweet little addition to our family. Lunch was a little later than usual, with ham and hot dogs and the leftover casserole to eat. Elizabeth brought eggs and mini chocolate muffins, and Susan brought milk fresh from her cow, which we made chocolate milk. She also brought venison snack sticks. Verena brought several jars of pickles to go with the sandwiches and ice cream. The children had so much fun and played so hard that day. I'm sure those mamas had tired children that night. It was so nice to spend a day together before school doors open for another term. 10 of my grandchildren will be off to school this term. After everyone left for home, I made 2 chocolate pies to take to our church picnic, which was at our bishop's house. Neighbor Joas was once again in charge of deep frying the fish he caught on his fishing trips. Along with that, there was baked beans and 4 different potato casseroles. Then also lots of desserts, coffee, cold coffee, lemonade, and water. Everything was held beside their pond. The children had fun swimming and playing volleyball. The adults also enjoyed a game of towel volleyball, where the couples had to each hold an end of the towel and use that to throw water balloons back and forth across the net. Joe and I didn't stay to watch all of that, but it sounds like it was fun. Joe came home from work and left for another appointment, then came back home, and we left again. He was ready to get back home and get rested for work the next day. Friday, my sisters Verena, Emma, and I were invited to help surprise neighbor Susan for her 65th birthday, and there were most of her daughters and a few daughter-in-laws. We had a delicious brunch with Susan kindly reminding her that she had turned another year older. Susan's mother, Melinda, and my dad are first cousins, so there is always a connection there. Susan's newest grandchild, Ashley Nicole, born to her youngest daughter, Beth and Mervyn Dean, was there and was born on the same day as Jaden, which was July 29th. Susan has me beat by far in grandchildren with her total being in the 40s. I will share my favorite recipe for canning church pickles. I use Palace Cake King cucumbers as they stay really firm and crisp after being processed. If my dill heads are really big, I only use one per quart. Levina's Amish Kitchen is written by Levina Eicher. And there's a picture on the second page, and it's got a caption, Hydrate Your Heroes. Tracy Keller, manager of Danville Ruler Foods, 102 North Griffin, presented water and other drinks that were donated by the community through Hydrate Your Heroes to the Danville Police Department recently. This donation was made possible by Danville Ruler Foods and its customers who purchased various drinks items and placed them in collection box. Accepting the donation from Keller, second from the right, were Danville Police Department officers from left to right, Ryan Elmore, Damon Bellick, and Roman Wagner. That's a nice gesture. We'll run through a couple of community briefs real quick here. Hoopston Library salutes Dog Month. August is National Dog Month, and Hoopston Public Library is celebrating these dog days with some fun activities and a donation drive for the Hoopston Animal Rescue Rescue team known as HEART. During August, bring in email or share a picture of your dog to the library's Facebook or Instagram pages, and you and your dog will each receive a small treat. All submitted dog photos will be on display near the upstairs main desk. For more information, contact the library at 217-283-6711. Don't currently have a dog? You can still get a treat if you bring a donation for the Hoopston Animal Rescue Team. Lists of HEART's most needed items and donation bins are located both upstairs and in the children's playroom. Fire Police Charity Softball Game Set. The annual 16th annual Fine Fist versus Bravest Charity Softball Game between the Danville Police Union and the Danville Fire Union is at 5 p.m. Saturday, August 15th at the Danville Stadium at 610 Highland Boulevard in Danville. Admission is free, but donations will be accepted at the door and all proceeds will be donated. Opening ceremonies begin at 4 p.m. For more information, see the Danville Police Department Facebook page. Chris YMCA offers free fitness classes in Danville. Chris Healthy Aging, in collaboration with the YMCA of Danville, is offering Fit and Strong Falls Prevention classes. Classes will be held from 10 to 11:30 every Tuesday and Thursday through November 5th at the YMCA of Danville at 1111 North Vermilion Street. There are 24 sessions, each lasting 90 minutes, with 60 minutes of exercise and 30 minutes of discussion and education. Join us for warm-ups, aerobics, weightlifting, cool-downs, and a great time. To register for this class, contact the YMCA of Danville at 217-442-0563. For more information about Chris Healthy Aging, call 217-443-2999 or visit chrishealthyaging.org. And St. James UMS hosts Rummage Sale Bake Sale. The St. James United Methodist Church at 504 Vermilion Street in Danville is hosting its annual Rummage Bake Sale from 9 to 1 p.m. on Sunday, August 29th. The sale, featuring homemade goodies, will be in the air-conditioned gymnasium, and all proceeds from this all-church sale go to the local charities. For more information, call 217-474-4170. And Songer Poker Run set for Saturday. The Sparky Songer Memorial Poker Run is set for 9:30 a.m. on Saturday, August 15th, starting at Vermilion County War Museum at 307 North Vermilion Street. All vehicles are welcome. Cost is $20 per rider, driver, and $5 per passenger. Proceeds benefit the Vermilion County War Museum. The run will end at Westville American Legion at 115 South State Street in Westville. A 50-50 drawing and other raffle baskets will be drawn at the time. For more information, contact Adrian Phelps at 217-474-9802. So that'll be it for Thursday, August 13th. Somebody won the big mega $1 million lottery last night. I don't know if it was one of you, but congratulations if it was. Anyway, I hope you have a good week, and try to stay out of the rain. Have a good week. See you next week. Thanks. Bye.